Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guest, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, we are going to be sharing about another children's book. However, as I always say, children's books are not just for kids. They're for the elders and the adults also who are reading them to the children. Can we all learn lessons? Can we all share in the stories? Can we all try to create a legacy? And can we, just for one moment, sit down and say, you know, I'm going to be engaged in this book. I'm going to be engaged in the thoughts around it. Maybe we could share how we're feeling. Maybe we could be sharing how we're not feeling and how we could help each other. You know, so many times people will say, oh, I got to go read them a book. They sit down, they read the book, and they're like, oh, can you fall asleep faster? And then the kids are not even engaged in it. What really is the purpose behind a children's book? Today, my guest is Brian Smith. His book is Empathy is My Superpower, a story about showing how you care. Brian will be sharing with us how you can become engaged in the story. It's really about joining forces with your children. They aren't separate from you. We're all together, and believe me, they're watching everything you do. Brian, thank you so much for joining us today. It's such a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you, Dr. Jeanette, for having me. I'm very excited to be on the show.
Oh, you're so welcome. Brian, don't you think that the days of reading a book and becoming passive, you know, about princes and toads is way gone, yes?
I would agree with that 100%.
Yeah, you know, I think sometimes people will say, oh, but it's my story that I grew up, you know, elders will be reading to children. It's a story that I knew. But really to become kind of disillusioned with those stories these days, and we have a lot of people saying, yeah, I know, I kind of don't believe it, but I'm just going to read it because that's what I'm supposed to do. What are your thoughts on that?
I would agree with that. I think when it comes to story writing, for sure in my stories, I try to relate to the students these days and situations that are honestly likely to happen and probably have happened many times to these students. So I think when we put those type of events in these stories that the kids can either say, hey, either number one, hey, that's happened to me, or number two, oh, I've seen that happen with somebody else, whether it's another brother, sister at the house or another child in their classroom at school. So I think the more relevant we make it, the more powerful the lesson is that they can take away from it.
Right. I mean, it's not like the big pumpkin's going to come down the street and take you somewhere, you know?
Correct.
You know, and I think the idea of sometimes people say, oh, but we want to lighten their load. We want children to be happy and believe in magic and illusion. And then we get children who are, they get kind of angry, they get kind of frustrated, and they don't really understand the process of life or how to engage with other people. I think sometimes it's not really a bit of realism. It's maybe a bit of authenticity, do you think, about life?
Yes, I would certainly agree with it. Like I said, I think the more relevant we make it, the more real-world life examples, the easier it is for them to actually take away and make changes in their behavior. If it's more like the fairy tales, like you were saying earlier, I think that they see that as, this isn't going to happen. It may be entertaining, but as far as walking away and making changes to the behavior, I think it's much more easier if you make, you know, real-world examples in the books.
Yeah, because it really kind of teaches some skills, though, of about, oh, so whatever happened, I don't have to carry it in my mind or my thoughts as a negative experience. The book kind of helps you to walk through the experience and to see something differently. I think sometimes kids seem to have a lot of baggage. I mean, I know as adults, you know, someone really gets you mad at work, you kind of talk about it for a week, next week you'll be complaining about it, the third week you'll be looking for another job, you know? It's kind of like, how long do you want to carry that stuff with you? But children have such a short memory, it's sort of like, oh, this happened. Oh, this is how I can walk through it. And they're on to the next thing. But you've made an imprint. And that's the biggest difference, yes?
I would agree with that. And like you said, just deal with it right in the moment, like when it's happening and everything like that. And the quicker we address it, the easier it is to change those behaviors. But like you said, I see that in the school setting all the time, you know, where kids' behaviors fluctuate so rapidly. And I would agree with you 100% mm-hmm. that they don't carry that baggage over and over with them.
Right. You know, I can remember as kids, little boys, they used to have, the army men,
yep.
you know, that were plastic. And they used to be hitting and fighting all the time. Well, of course, those children grew up with that mentality. Also, too, you know, everything was always a hit thing, like marbles. You would hit them against something. Or there was always, like, this hit factor, you know. I guess, but, of course, my background, there was a lot of hitting in it. So I guess I kind of tuned into that. But I kind of see a lot of hitting around, you know, so... I think sometimes we say, oh, but those things are okay. But really, are they okay?
When it comes to the hitting aspect?
Mm-hmm.
I think you've got to be
hitting,
careful.
Hitting, fighting, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that comes from being able to take different perspectives and things like that. And so the play fighting, what I've seen from play fighting is sometimes the kids don't, that they truly are just playing around, but that they take it too far and the kids get hurt. And again, I think that kind of throws into that whole empathy part of, you know, they don't see others' perspective. So if you encourage the, you know, the physicalness and the hitting, then that's kind of
right.
what's accepted and can become a problem for sure.
You know, my son is working with several children in juvenile hall. And he said, you know, a lot of them are there. He said, I can sit there and listen to their story. And they will truly play out the factor that it's what they knew when they grew up, and they just took it too far, just exactly the words you just said. They took it just a drop too far, and that's how they ended up there. And they really didn't even realize it when they're still kids already. So I think the idea of let's give the children where they are in this world, the reality to be able to know that they can be kind, they can be loving, something happens, how to work through that at a much younger age, maybe this will try to help the communication expand. Yes?
Yes, absolutely. And again, I think it's something that needs to be taught. I think at times parents think that it's just kids can already understand it, so it's definitely a teaching mm-hmm. opportunity doing that with the children.
But also, too, I think we're in a transition time in the generations where the elders kind of have their own post-war kind of idea. The kids in the middle says, we're going to defy whatever our parents did, and we're going to let our kids now blossom like little flowers. And they really don't give them any guidance because they're running from, you know. So in other words, they kind of haven't created or see that they can create children to be all of these things that they really want to see, rather than just allowing the kids to free fall on their own. I think sometimes when kids free fall on their own, don't you think without guidance, all kinds of different things start to come out because they see and they start to mimic versus creating their own morals or their own confidence or their own set of who they are, right?
Yeah, I would agree with that statement, and it kind of goes back to the philosophy of mistakes, or at least my philosophy with mistakes, or, you know, mistakes are fine as long as we learn from them. So when you take any type of sporting event, obviously your kid's going to make mistakes, and they're, you know, the parent or the coach, whoever it is, is going to walk them through those mistakes. We do it in the school setting when they make mistakes with math or reading. We walk them mm-hmm. through it again, whether it's the parents at home and the teachers here or a combination of both. There's really no difference when it comes to behavior, but I think there at times it's handled completely different. But in my opinion, it shouldn't be. It should be something that, you know, they make a mistake, we walk them through it, and help them learn from that mistake.
In your book, Empathy is My Superpower, the first story in there pretty much is about the little girl, and she feels like it's almost like her space has been invaded. It's sort of like, you know, she's sometimes kids will say, I'm the queen of my castle. Don't yell at me. Don't talk to me. Don't come around me. They kind of like want their own space. But when something disturbs their outer space, then they want to challenge it, don't you think? So when she was hearing the noise, she was like, don't do that. It's challenging my space. Yes?
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, 100%. Very annoying to her because, again, mm-hmm. I think when she starts the story off, she's only got her perspective. She's not looking at
right.
the other person's perspective.
Yeah, and I think, don't you think that sometimes that leads to a very linear kind of world where only you exist, you know, and there's the others. It's more of a duality and versus, you know, how we all have to come together, right?
100%. Yeah, absolutely.
So what do you think the word empathy might mean to a child? And gee, if you can share that, you know, what you think empathy is about.
Sure. I think when it comes to what does empathy for a child, I would guess or take a wild guess that if you were to ask kids, most kids couldn't tell you what empathy is. I would guess
mm-hmm.
that many kids have never even heard of that term. So to me, empathy is just being able to walk in someone else's shoes, be able to take their perspective and possibly even look to doing something to help that person out in that situation if the need arises.
Yeah. You know, when I think of empathy, I've always shared on the show that you have one person each side of the river and there's a bridge in the middle and both are kind of walking up to be able to meet each other in the middle. You know, that concept, we'll meet each other in the middle and help each other, whatever that might be. And the other person starts crawling and then finally they lay down and the other person says, well, I'm still standing in the middle. And it's like, no, but you can go over and you can lay down next to them and then see their perspective. I think that's a perfect example of empathy is go to see their perspective, not demanding someone come along for your ride just because, you know, whose ride are we, whose car are we riding along in, you know?
Right.
And the idea of everybody is so different. And do you want to be able to experience something else? Or do you want to continue to keep having your own stuff, right?
Yes, and I agree with you. I think, yeah, I love your representation of what you just said. And I think it's so powerful if we can teach kids, especially at an early age, to teach about the perspective of others, because I think that that's a lot of conflict resolution right there. A lot of conflicts are started because I do not see your side of the, you know, whatever argument it is. And so
right.
if we can teach these kids that, I think it would resolve a lot of the conflicts.
And also, too, I think children have a great capacity for hiding things. If they have difficulty at home, if they don't have enough money for lunch, if they feel alone, if they can't read, they can't learn, they don't tend to tell anyone else, but they do tend to act out. And that acting out, I think, is a perfect gateway. I almost think acting out is like the neon sign at the door that says on air, you know, that used to be at the radio or the TV shows, you know. It says
right.
on air. It's sort of like they're acting out and they're trying to present out into the world, I'm hurt, I'm this, I'm that, but it comes across a different way. But it's almost like an invitation to come join them to help them, right?
Yeah, I would agree with that. You know, as you're talking right there, it reminds me of a lesson that I do with my kids when I throw out to my kids, you know, typically you're not going to see a kid start crying in school. And so I talk to the kids. I say, mm-hmm. What would happen if a kid started just crying in school? And they're like, well, that would be weird. And I go,
yeah,
but let's also think, well, what might be happening with that student? And it kind of, you know, they give me that look of, oh, I never thought about that before. And so then they start throwing out different guesses, like, you know, maybe they had a death of a family member, a death of a pet. Maybe their parents are getting divorced. And it's interesting, too. It takes just a minute for the topics to come out of their mouths, but then they start just coming up with all different kinds. And yes, that would not be usual behaviors in a classroom, but again, if somebody does that, then that probably means something's going on. And then what can you do to try and maybe help that person out or find out if he or she's okay? So it's real interesting watching kids, you know, reactions in that.
Today we discuss many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family. Clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.
Yeah, it's almost, it's so funny because we're both tit for tat, but also too, I remember also too when kids are crying and someone, you know, let's say a child's crying, and you could have an exercise in the classroom and say, oh my gosh, tell me the last time you cried, what was it about? And then kind of like go around and then each one would say, oh, these are our cry stories, you know, these are how we connect it with our heart. And isn't that cool? And almost put a big jar up in the front and say, I'm going to put my cry story in there today because that's how I feel, you know?
Right,
it's
right.
Just kind of cool, you know? It's like an exercise, but it shows that there's other people in the jar that had other days like that too. So how cool that might be, yes?
Well, and it also helps those people realize I'm not alone. You know, I think that's a big concern is when somebody, and going back to that divorce thing or whatever, you know, if you feel like you're alone, you know, I think it helps immensely if you realize either, number one, there's other people who are experiencing stuff similar to you, or number two, that there are other people that care and are there to help you out.
And a lot of times kids don't want to share. So almost if you had that jar from the classroom and a child put the note in and everybody saw them put a note in, they'd be more kind that day. You know, they didn't need to know the story, didn't have to know all the details. Maybe they just needed to know that they needed to be a kind person, that they needed to be a little bit nicer, that they needed to be a little softer. And maybe that might shift to something, yes?
Right. Yes, I agree. And hearing you say that reminds me of another thing I do with the kids is one of my lessons when we're talking about being picked on or made fun of or bullied. You know, I have the kids write down on a piece of paper, what's something that nobody knows about you that could have you picked on or made fun of? And they don't write their name on it. They write it on a sheet of paper, they fold it up, and they send it up to me at the front of the room. And then I just start reading it. And I offer to the kids, if you're brave enough to say this is you, you're certainly welcome to raise your hand. But if not, don't worry about it. But, I did that when I had fifth grade at my school, and it even surprised me some of the stuff I would read. I would read things like, I don't know how to swim. I don't know how to ride a bike. And, you know, for those kids that also are in that boat, what a powerful message to, I'm not alone. There's somebody else who feels that way.
Right. And I'll tell you, you know, when you look back on childhood, you say, someone had said to me one day, they said, oh, my childhood was so idyllic. And I said, oh, my goodness, what house did you grow up in? You know, because I had known some other people in that home that it wasn't like that. So I think it's all about their perception, about what they're feeling and how they see things. And it doesn't have to be the way you see things, right?
Yep. Absolutely. And when you use the term perception, you know, what we've got to consider with students is perception is reality in their eyes. And so I think that that's where through storybooks and lessons and teaching these kids, we can help change that perception so they truly do see both sides of the perspective.
You know what I thought was really cool in your book? Again, the book is Empathy is My Superpower. At the end, when the parents join in, because, in other words, they engage in the child's experience with the CAPE, I think that's so important because sometimes parents have a tendency to say, yeah, I was there too, blah, blah, you know, or, oh, yeah, whatever. But they always negate the child or they it's almost like they become the center of attention instead of the child's center of attention at the moment.
Right.
It's almost like, do we always have to hold a flashlight over who the big deal is at the moment, and how can we have a engaging moment to be able to work through it versus almost like grandstanding? Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
It's sort of like the idea, you know how grandparents used to always say, yeah, but I went to war, toughen up, son, that kind of idea, you know? So I think that it's very different now with kids. We don't want to put that extreme on them. We want to engage with them in the moment, right?
Yeah, agreed. And really with empathy, and what I would love for kids to understand is it's not just a kid thing. It, like you mentioned, it's an adult mm-hmm. thing. Everyone needs empathy at times, and we can spread it, but we're also going to be needing to receive it at times too.
Yeah, I had shared on the radio that I really think the greatest gift that's going to maybe save this world is if the children start engaging with elders, almost to the point where they really kind of help pull them through. Because elders now are pretty, they're pretty much alone. They're pretty much separated out. There are elders who are doing great, you know, that are, you know, on their next trip to wherever. However, there's a greater population that isn't doing well. And to look at that and say, who's going to be able to nurture their hearts enough so that we can just, you know, feel like we've actually done something in the world. I think in the back of your book, when you say tips for parents and educators, that's really very important, because if you're looking at it from an elder's point of view and you're engaging with the child, how can this work out, right?
Right. Yes, again, couldn't agree with you more. I think it's really a twofold process, too. If you were having some of the younger generation work with the elders, I think it benefits both sides. When we're talking about perspectives, if you look at how the elders grew up compared to how the younger generation has grown up,
right,
you're talking about two completely different extremes almost.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it would be very eye-opening for that younger generation to see the elder generation's perspective and help immensely.
And also to see what pain and hurt sometimes looks like, you know. Sometimes, or to see what long-time love looks like, or kindness no matter what. In other words, also to see differences. A lot of times kids are looking and seeking out people alike. You know, they look like me, sort of like the duck kind of concept,
yep,
you know.
Yep.
Walk like a duck, look like a duck, quack like a duck, you know. But then when you go to the elders, it's sort of like, oh, well, they don't look right. They're old. They're wrinkly. They don't feel right. They don't smell right. They don't eat right, you know, all of that stuff. And I think it really gives them a concept of being able to unconditionally love someone or something else versus always looking for the duck factor.
Yep, I agree.
You know, it was funny with that duck factor. I was speaking to an author the other day, and I said, are you just looking for that, or are you really looking to take your topic and being able to be like a bird to set it free, or are you just looking to be able to sell books, sell books, sell books, you know? And they couldn't quite get that understanding. They kind of didn't really know what it meant. But it's really about sharing your topic and sharing the concepts with those, and they take it forward. It's true, you know, like ripple effect, we call it. And I
yep.
think when we talk about empathy, when you're reading a children's book, then you go to work, then you engage with your spouse or whatever, or you have a lunch with someone, the concept really plays forward. Something in your head will trigger, and you'll say, you know, I read this really cool book to my kids, and you know what, we're kind of not too nice at lunch talking about everybody. How about we talk about the sun and the flowers today or something, you know?
Right.
I think, wouldn't that really shift people's concepts?
Yeah, that's my, you know, hope and desire with this book is I really do think that, you know, one of the biggest issues with this world right now is we got a lot of people that have not been taught empathy. I think at times people think, you know, before even empathy, people need to understand different emotions. So
yeah.
I think people think kids just already know what does mad, sad, frustrated, what do all of these look like, sound like, that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's not true. Kids, they might know a few of them, but the kids need to understand the different types and feelings of emotions first before we even really start to hit the empathy component. And then I think if we could get them to see others' perspectives, again, whether it's in conflicts or just, you know, random acts of kindness, making this world a better place. So it doesn't even have to be during, you know, bad times that we're showing empathy and everything like that. So my hope is that it just blossoms and it spreads, and I really think that it can make a big change.
Well, Brian, your book is also published through Boys Town Press. Can you share how you chose that?
Through Boys Town Press?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I actually had another author come visit my school. She happens to be with Boys Town Press. So I, my very first book that I wrote was on teaching kids to never change themselves to fit in. And so I sent it off to them, and very similar styles to that other author, and they picked it up, and since then I now have 11 books out.
Wow. Because I think, Brian, also, too, Boys Town Press tends to want to engage children in life, but also with kindness and compassion and with tenderness and support. And I think that's very important because we don't want to give them too much of a story or turn around and have them concerned or overly concerned and create fear. But also, too, it does walk them through the difficult times in life. Many books, you know, that are put out by Boys Town Press is about how do you work through these difficult times as children age. And I think that's very important. Your books also take them through those steps at a younger age so they'll be able to have a support system right from the beginning. You know, you almost lay the scaffolding, so to speak, so that other authors will be able to take that and say, this is how we grow it further. Yes?
Yes, agree. And like you said, Boys Town has a big history of teaching tools, not just within children's books, but lots of different teaching tools, social skills, everything like that. So, you know, certainly I'm the author, but it definitely I get some good ideas from Boys Town when we're going through the whole editing process and everything like that. You know, they certainly have great ideas and help make my books the best they can be as well.
And I think the books are very important to just kind of to lay a foundation. So, Brian, I think it's really great. Can you share with the listeners how to find out more information about you? That'd be wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely. You're certainly welcome to go to boystownpress.org. All my books and everything are there. I've also got my own website, too. It's authorbriansmith.weebly.com. And so, again, you can find out. I've got a little brief history about what you know, how I've been a teacher, counselor, and I'm currently still an elementary school counselor. And then again, you can learn about all my different books on that website as well.
Well, Brian, it was such a pleasure to have you with us today because I think sometimes people say, I'm looking for some new age books. I've spoken about this many times. I've said I really think that our kids need to clear the shelves and start anew with some of the books that they're reading because little of those stories of, you know, maybe illusion or disillusion might not be working if a child needs a little more help and support, yes?
Yes, agreed, 100%.
Well, Brian, thank you so much for joining us. It was a pleasure to have you with us here today.
Dr. Jeanette, I appreciate your time, and thank you to all your listeners.
Thank you so much. If you'd like to find out more information about Brian Smith, again, his book is Empathy is My Superpower, A Story About Showing You Care, please do click on the link on the bottom of today's show page and you go directly to his website. And it truly is that when a child comes to you, sit down, look them in the eyes, give them a hug, and say, okay, what next? What can I help you with? How can I just be there for you? And what it might that look like? And it truly is about maybe not shaming, maybe not grandstanding, maybe not putting too much of your stuff on them, because believe me, they're little children, and to carry that weight along their whole life is really not a great thing to do. So it probably is maybe how can we have children go through the struggles of life with a little more lightness. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. Till tomorrow, have a great day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.